not half. I'm undecided. I'm undecided on whether or not my sermon flew away or not. I still think there's an anointing on it. But maybe we'll get to it or flow into it, but I'm going to just exhort and minister something to you all first. Amen? Amen. Here in John chapter 16. Now, John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. These are some of the last words that Jesus instructed his disciples before he went to the cross. These are just the John 14, 15, 16, and then his prayer that's by himself in chapter 17. This is just hours before Jesus is going to be arrested. And so how many of you know that what you're uttering at the end of your earthly course is going to be the most paramount of things, right? And so this is one of the last, if not the last verse before he goes off to himself and we get his prayer recorded in John chapter 17. And here in John chapter 16, verse number 33, this will probably sound familiar to you. Amen. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now listen, peace in the day we're living in is a hot commodity, is a precious thing. And there is never a reason why you and I should not have peace. Jesus said, my peace, my very own peace, I leave with you. That sense of a calm, undisturbed, I'm not worried, I'm not frantic, I'm not anxious, I'm not oppressed, I'm not depressed, the peace of God. The peace Jesus walked in when he was on this earth, he did not take that peace to heaven with him. He left it for you. And he left it for me. Amen. Glory to God. And so he says, in me, notice there's peace is connected to him. No Jesus, no peace. Well, Jesus is the Word, isn't he? So you could say it this way, no Word, no peace. No Word, no peace. You back off the Word, you get distracted, you get moved off of your Word, off the Word of God, off your time in the Word, you'll have less peace. Amen? But if you have Jesus, you have His Word, and you're in the Word, come on, you're going to have peace. Now listen to what He said. He said, in the world, amen, you shall have tribulation. Anybody want to shout? No? That's okay. It doesn't change what he said. I'm not shouting either. But he said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, come on. We're blessed. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. We've got the blessing of Abraham. We've got but that does not mean that we are immune to trouble, to problems, to pressures, to tests, to trials. Amen? The blessing of God does not promise immunity from these things. I think a lot of Christians, especially in the Word of Faith camp, they get disillusioned. They say, well, something must be wrong. If I had faith, if I had the blessing of God operating in my life, I wouldn't have any of this trouble. No, that's not true. Amen? The devil makes sure you'll have extra trouble. You begin to operate in some of these things. What we do have is the guarantee that the blessing of God on our life, amen, through faith in His Word, will get us out of all trouble. Amen. Stop looking for a life on this planet where there's no trouble. Where there's nothing that comes against your body, nothing comes against your mind, nothing comes against your finances, your marriage, your kids, your relationship. Amen. If you were to come up and ask me, Pastor, I just pray that you'd get the devil to leave me alone and that I just never have any more problems. I said, well, I could get my 9mm out and I could send you to heaven straight away. Because that's the only way you're not going to have any more trouble. Now, don't get weird or, amen. Paul said, we glory in tribulation. We boast in tribulation. Amen. So much of what puts a precious believer on a dark path where things are cycling the wrong direction is attitude. It is a mental attitude. And I'm not, you know, we've probably all slipped into that attitude. That whole, oh, woe is me, and I'm just tired of all of this, and when is this just going to end? And you just got no more will to fight, to stand, to confess, to pray, to worship, to come to church. Listen, you cannot allow yourself to stay in that mode. No. Amen? Winners have a mindset, right? Paul had that mindset. I boast. Now, again, I'm just totally off the cuff here right now because I just want to help some people. You understand that, yeah, we're in 2024 and glory to God, expecting great things. And that's my intention, is to share some things in my heart to you, this church, about 2024. We'll see if we get there tonight. Okay. Amen. But go to Romans 5. But you understand that from the world's perspective, it's not going to get better, guys. If you're hoping, okay, it's election season, it's going to get better. You know what I'm kind of expecting? For utter hell, chaos, turmoil out there in the United States in 2024. It's going to get darker. It's going to get more evil. It's going to get more sick. It's going to get more poor. It's going to get more hate-filled, more dangerous, more weird, more strange, more perverse. Amen? That's where the world out there is heading in 2024. What are you going to do? You're just going to hide, you pull your covers over your head and cry and wonder why it's all like this? No. Amen? Praise God. What have I been preaching the last two Wednesdays? Be strong. I was just preaching what's in my heart. Miss Chelsea said, I heard this minister talk about that. Ministers, I don't have any idea. He said, Pastor Jensen Franklin's been preaching lately about being strong. I don't know whoever else, but I'm preaching on. God's trying to tell us. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. To be strong. Amen. Okay, so you'll have to, I got a new Bible and I wasn't planning on going here. Praise God. Romans chapter 5. And talks about, okay, here it is in the, let's just go ahead and just begin reading in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Come on, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. These last days, we got to look at it right. We got to think about it right. For us, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled when you see all of these things. Instead, he said, for you, there's one message in which, for you, there's one message that everything you see going on in the world, that should just give you one message. And the message it's to bring us is that our redemption is close. Our redemption has drawn nigh. He said, lift up your head. Our redemption is drawn nigh. But so many Christians are being wearied and trodden down and worn out by the constant buffeting in life, the tests, the trials, the persecutions, the pressures, the problems, the circumstances. And listen, if we faint under these things in what Proverbs called a day of adversity, it's not the things that led to your defeat. Come on, we've spent a couple of hours on that one verse. If you faint in the day of adversity, what does it tell you? It says your strength is small. You need strength to meet the day you're in. And it's available. But that whole whine, and I don't mean to be, you know, remember my mercy score's real low. Right? So if you want the mercy flow, Debbie Keaton's here tonight. She can slobber all over you before you leave. Make you feel good. And you need that. Amen. Have her lay hands on you. Have her hug you. Just Miss Debbie, you just stand and you're our exit greeter at the end of the service. Amen. And anybody else that's got a mercy gift. Amen. But we also need more of that don't call me a prophet, but what Romans describes as a prophet's gift that's going to come at you, amen, and say, buck up, come on. Yep. Amen. And there's a lot of that that needs to happen. Stop expecting to not have mountains to climb, hindrances to overcome, demons to cast out, thoughts that you're going to have to battle, circumstances that you're going to have to overcome. Amen. We are overcomers. Come on. That is what we are. Put the t-shirt on. Right? You're not an overcomer if life is just sit on the beach and drink Mai Tais or whatever, you know, virgin, whatever that is. That's not the life we're called to. It's fine to have a vacation. Amen? But we are ground takers. We are soldiers in the kingdom of God. We are prayer warriors. Amen. We are believers. We are supposed to be wearing the whole armor of God. Y'all remember those a couple years ago when I preached about some of that and I showed that picture of that radical looking Roman soldier and he's leaning into the fire with his, that's who we are. And we're more than able in Jesus to overcome. Every test, every attack, everything you face is already defeated in the mind of God. He's not surprised by anything that you faced. He's got the wisdom. He's got the answer. He's got the way out. No test or trial comes to man that is not common to everybody else. But in the midst of it, God is faithful. Come on, I said, God is faithful in the midst of that test, in the midst of that circumstance, for you to be able to bear up under it and to make a way of escape out of it. Amen. So the devil, if he wants to attack me, if he wants to attack my family, this ministry, I can't necessarily stop that, but he's going to have a bloody nose and a black eye and another defeat to hang on his little score column, because I'm going to win every battle. I'm going to win every fight. See, it's an attitude. It's a mindset. Now listen, I have a few times in my life got real low where I needed someone with this kind of spirit to preach to me and to talk to me. I'm not mad at anybody. Amen. But I'm just telling you what, if you just decide you're done and you're going to just whimper and crawl up spiritually in the fetal position and wait for it to all be over, you ought to just ask us to pray you into heaven fast and get you out of here. Because some of the greatest spiritual battles are just ahead in the body of Christ. And we're made for it, to win it, to take ground, to see a harvest of souls come into the kingdom of God. And the church built up in signs and wonders and miracles like we haven't seen in generations or ever. But that's not going to come without opposition. All right? Amen. So here in Romans chapter 5 we're reading. And it says that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We just don't give up. We don't quit in tribulations. We don't get into the flow of frustration and questionings and why is this happening to me? No, Paul said we as Christians, we glory when trouble shows up. Because we know how it's going to turn out. We know what to do to make sure that when the storm passes, everything about our life is intact, shiny, right? Looking good, and we've just gained and glorified our Father and obtained promises. Are you with me tonight? Amen. So we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work something in our life. They work patience. They produce patience. Nothing produces perseverance like pain. We don't like that. But no one gets to marathon level ability except pressing through pain and limits and mental limits, physical limits, discomfort, pain. But they want the goal of the finish more than they want to avoid the pain that goes with it. And we cannot escape in this life the pain of demonic attacks on our mind. So when they come, you just need to be equipped and ready to use your training to overcome those mental attacks. And the answer is not to run out of your marriage. It's not to run into dark behaviors. It's not to run into addictive mindsets. It's not to run to alcohol, drugs, or sex, or illicit relationships, or anything like that to feed your pain, to medicate, to cope. We are not copers. The world copes. We overcome. You have to think right. Amen? We overcome. We don't cope. We overcome. Cope means train me how to put up with this. Train me how to get to the end of the day depressed, sick, poor, unhappy, frustrated. How do I cope with, how do I manage that? We don't manage sickness, we put it under our feet. We don't manage depression, we put it under our feet. We don't manage these kind of things. We're not called to manage the curse in our life. I said, we're not called to manage, you know, the curse in our life. That's the world. Don't let the world get into your mentality. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. You are a king. You are a priest. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. You've got a sword. I don't know where it is, but you have one. You have a shield. Amen. You have a helmet. You have sandals of peace. You've got the belt of truth. I cannot put it on for you. I cannot wear it for you. Amen. Trouble's coming into, I'm no prophet, I don't think, but 2024 is going to have trouble with it from that perspective. Just know it. Just know it. Amen. That's not supposed to be your future. It's not supposed to be your flow. Amen. But there is a, we have to have a biblical, a rooted biblical understanding in our lives about a perspective about trouble, about persecution. I don't like it when I face financial pressure. I don't like having to go into a personal, what's supposed to be a personal vacation season, you know, with the last report I got. We don't have a service coming, and we're deeper in the hole than we've been in months. I don't like that. But I don't get to choose everything that comes. You can't choose it. You don't get to choose everything that comes in your life. You get to choose your response to it. It's called responsible, responsibility. And it is our responsibility. Amen? Now, if you're new, you're new. But you need to get in. Maybe I'll get into my message. 2024 is the year to come. That's what the Spirit of God said to us. 2024 is the year to come and the year to go. So I'm going to just pause that because I don't think I'm done with this other thought. But trouble produces perseverance, and you and I need perseverance. I love what Brother Hagin would say. He would say, everything, every test, people acting crazy, you know, whatever they're going to do, all these things, the devil coming against me, it's just another opportunity to prove that the Word of God is true and that faith works. It's an opportunity. Not having enough money and not knowing where money's going to come from, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to take a stand on Philippians 4:19 and prove it true. Prove it. Did he not say, prove me? The layoff at work, you know, whatever. Praise God. It's opportunity. Sickness comes, opportunity. Opportunity. Fight. Okay, devil, you started this fight, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to prove that 1 Peter chapter 2 is true in my life, and everybody's going to know it when it's all over. I'm going to tell everybody what you tried to do in my body and that Jesus healed me as I stood on His Word. Not a doctor, not a medicine, not a vitamin. I'm going to give God glory until you're sick in the face yourself, devil. I'm going to wear a billboard. That's just the way I try to think about it. If you're going to push on me, I'm going to push you right back. But the devil pushes on a lot of people. And he gets no response from them. right? And you know what? Appeasement and weakness emboldens enemies. I wish our politicians would get that. When you show weakness, it emboldens. It is, what was Reagan's big thing? Strength through peace. He brought down the communist Soviet Union, and the communist movement took a big hit around the world. He did that without firing a shot. How'd he do it? He spent billions of dollars on the military, and Russia couldn't keep up. Unfortunately, now we're in the same boat. We're having to spend to keep up with China, and our credit card is $34 trillion. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. But I'm just trying to tell you that even in the spirit, that's why he said be strong, that weakness and trying to appease the devil, amen, only invites demonic aggression. You're not going to reason with him. You're not going to make a deal with him that's going to last. You're not going to compromise the word of God and win. You're going to have to decide, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I'm a child of God. I'm going to have to work some things out. I'm going to have to learn. I'm going to have to be taught. I'm going to have to put forth a lot of effort. But I'm going to train and I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally, and financially. I'm going to win. And the devil is already, he's the loser. Yes. Jesus already defeated him. Yes. Amen. Amen? So that's why Paul said, I glory in tribulation. I glory in it. I boast in it. And he says, perseverance or patience produces, my Bible says, experience. So in other words, here comes trouble. It causes pain. But in the pain, you persevere. And what that does is produces a personal experience in your life. You found out God's true to His word. God will not let me down. God is not just Pastor Chris's God. He's not just Pastor Nancy's God. He's not just Dr. Jacob's God. I just proved He's my God. He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my deliverer. He is my peace giver. He is my Savior. I just proved it. He comes through for me. See, patience, perseverance produces an experience. And experience produces something else. What did he say? Hope. What is hope? Expectation. So you get this cycle. Okay, you started. It started with what? It started with trouble. It started with tribulation. Amen? But that produced perseverance. And the perseverance produced a personal experience that you can never take away from me. Amen? And that experience produces something else. It's a hope. It's an expectation. And the expectation is, I know how this works now. I know how this works now. I know how to take the word of God. I know how to take my covenant. I know how to fend off attacks against my mind. I know how to step past my feelings. I know how to put my flesh down. I know how to step out on the unknown. I know how to step out in faith. And I know, having done it myself, amen, that God comes through on that. And what you do is now you walk around with an expectation, not of more trouble, but of an expectation of when he tries that again, when he tries that again, I have experience. The devil's bag of tricks is only so, right, it is. He's just got a very small bag of tricks. He's got a lot of different colors of wrapping paper, but really what he has inside is really the same old rigmarole in a different wrapping paper. Right? And once you kind of figure it out, and you figure out how superior your covenant is, how superior your Holy Ghost is, how superior, how faithful, come on, how reliable the life of faith is, you relish the next opportunity you have to take a stand on God's word. Child of God, what I'm trying to get over to you is you've come to a day, whether you like it or not, you must enter into this flow. It's either that or we'll love you the best we can through your trouble. We'll help you the best we can. We'll be here for you best we can. Amen? Yeah. Go with me to James chapter 1. If you haven't liked this so far, you're really not going to like this next verse. Hallelujah. My brother and my sister, I love you. Be strong. Be strong in this day. Be strong in your prayer life. Be strong in your mind. Amen. And if you're feeding on stuff that's troubling you, stop feeding on that. Now, I used to be a news junkie. I enjoyed it, but I cannot watch it. I cannot watch flood after flood after flood of the invasion that's going on in our border. I cannot watch it anymore. I just don't watch it. I'm so much happier. I don't have to overcome all that. I don't have to watch that news piece and go, I just don't have to do that. I just don't watch it. What am I going to do about it? They're not listening to me. I put in my call up there. They didn't answer. I mean, the president, he's not listening to me. I just pray for him as God instructed. I'm just going to go on with my good self. Amen. I'm not going to sit there and watch all those commercials. It's just drug commercials, depression commercials, gay commercials, queer commercials, perversion. I'm just not going to watch it. Nope. I'm just not going to watch it. Amen. So you just do yourself a big favor, not exposing your soul and your eyes to all this junk that's going on. Just, amen. Anyway, okay, James chapter 1. Glory to God. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Really, that word temptations would be better translated tests or trials. See, this is a mindset. You have to renew your mind. You have to train yourself. This doesn't come naturally. Right? Nobody can. Yeah, the transmission fell out on the driveway today. I counted it a joy. That's not how you naturally think. My husband hadn't walked in love toward me in 3 years. Bless his holy name. You know, that's just not how you normally think. You have to make yourself. You have to bring yourself in line with the word. You got to do it not wanting to do it, not feeling like doing it, crying while you do it. Amen. Brother Hagin would say to us, he would say, if you don't learn to laugh when you feel like crying, you're never going to make it. Did you get that statement? That's huge. If you don't learn to laugh when you feel like crying, you're never going to make it. Well, some of you got plenty of opportunities to practice. Right? Ha, ha, ha. Come on, guys. Give me a good ha, ha, ha. Out there on the YouTube and the live stream, give me a good ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. And, of course, you've been around in some of these services enough to know where we've practiced some of this. What's wonderful about acting on the Word when you don't feel like it is the Spirit will meet you. Yes. Instead of your ha-ha-ha being just a raw, dry ha-ha, the Spirit of God comes on you. Mm-hmm. And before long, you're rolling around the floor like a drunk person, not a care in the world. And all the while, amen, from the natural, it looks like you're acting like a fool. Amen. But you've just unleashed, you just unloaded on the devil. You just open up the door for the power of God to work in your situation. Why? Because you're doing it God's way. You're not doing it the world's way. You're doing it God's way. You're not doing what natural people would do. You're actually acting like a Christian. Wouldn't that be profound for us to act like a Christian? I always tell people, you know, one of the great measurements of Brother Cody Howe, you guys might not have been around long enough to hear me say this. How do I measure, am I growing? Am I making ground in my spiritual growth? Well, here's how you know. If you're acting so much more of the time in ways that you don't feel like acting, then you're doing really good. Right? That's the mark of a maturing Christian. They're not doing what they feel like. They're not talking the way they feel like talking. They're not acting the way they feel like acting. They're not doing what their flesh wants to do. And here's another way to say it. If your flesh is unhappy a lot, you're a Hallmark Christian right there. You're doing really well. I mean, if your flesh is crawling and screaming and whining and crying, saying, when are you going to say yes? When do I get to have a cookie? And your flesh is just unhappy all the time, right? When do I have to not bite my teeth? When do I get to talk back to that whip? And you just keep saying no to your flesh. Like never, no, no. This is how we walk in love. See, then you know you've grown spiritually. This is count it joy when you fall into different temptations. Now, this is not Paul, this is James, but look how they're on the same thing. They've got the same revelation, knowing this. See, one of the things that helps us when trouble comes is that when trouble comes, you should already know something. See, the trouble's worse when you don't know. You're in trouble and you don't know. See, that's when you should have been in church. You should have been under the minute. You should have been studying. You should have been reading books. You should have been listening to sermons. And now you're behind the eight ball. But that God will help you. Amen. But here it says you count it all joy when you're in trouble, knowing that the trying or the testing of your faith produces, there's that same thing, it produces perseverance. There's just no real other way, amen, to get you to a more persevering place than like trouble. And God's not bringing the trouble. He's using the trouble. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right. I said, God's not bringing the trouble. He's using the trouble. Right. So you need to understand, number one, God did not bring this trouble into my life. But number two, He will use it. He will use it to work perseverance. And it says, let patience have its perfect work. Let me ask you, is your fleshly nature going to like that? No. Is your fleshly nature going to be on board with that? No. So you have to govern your flesh. You have to direct your flesh. You have to live out of your spirit. Yeah. And living out of your spirit, that's not kooky weird. It means I'm gonna bring myself in line with God's word. It doesn't matter what I feel like. Doesn't matter what I think. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And it will do some proving and perfecting in your faith. And look at the outcome. If you'll let this, instead of seeking relief, I'm getting a divorce because I want relief. I'm running to the medicine instead of standing on the word. You know, I don't care if you get medicine, but you know you need to be on the word. Amen. Amen. A lot of people, Satan comes against them and the believer backs off. And the believer is not seeking victory, they're seeking relief. Relief and victory are not the same thing. And if you make decisions that bring you relief, you just understand you forfeited victory to have relief. You settled for relief because you're not feeling the intensity of the pressure like you were. But you didn't get victory. You forfeited the victory and settled for relief. And a lot of Christians, they made the mental calculation, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with relief when God's called me to victory. Right? In the long term, victory. You got to learn how to stake your claim and get victory. Victory over sickness. Victory over mental assaults, victory over your finances, victory over your fleshly addictive tendencies, right? Amen. That we're called to the victory flow, not the relief flow. But see, to get full victory, God understands sometimes He's got to let you stay in the heat of the battle a while. But you just got to understand in those moments, He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. It doesn't mean that the word's not working. It doesn't mean that your faith is failing. You just have to be willing to stay in the fire. Notice God allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to get thrown all the way in. But they found out that he delivered them even there. God allowed Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. He didn't bring that trouble, but he allowed it to go that far. And because Daniel didn't put a limit on his trust level for God. Well, I'll trust God until they actually throw me in and then I know it's over. Well, then it would have been over. And God would have had, we wouldn't have the testimony. God would not have been able to demonstrate to humanity, I can deliver you through even a lion's den. I can deliver you through even a hot, fiery furnace. Yeah. Never quit. Never come off your stand. Never stop trusting me.
Amen.
I heard Dr. Savelle already say what God told him about 2024, and he said it was like God screamed at him in his spirit, tell the body of Christ, stay in faith in 2024. Amen. Stay, if he's going to scream it, what must be coming in 2024? For him to scream, tell the body of Christ, stay in faith. Don't leave it. Don't leave the flow of faith. Amen. Is this helping somebody? I hope it is. Praise God. Let's go over to back to the left just a few pages from where you are to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, right here, how God's moved tonight is one of the great advantages of coming to your local church.
Amen.
We need to be talked to like this at times. Don't ever call me a life coach. I'm a pastor. Okay? But we need to be coached. We need to be rod. We need to have someone in our life that say, we can win. We're called to win. We can do it. I know we're down by 3 touchdowns and it's halftime, but come on, we're going to come back. We're going to win this game. We're going to carry the trophy away. We need to be talked to. And it's just one of the things that makes you sad when you see people under pressure, under the pressure of circumstance, and one of the first things that goes is church attendance. The thing they need the most. The thing that would help them the most. That's one of the first calculations they give up on coming to the place where they can hear their answer. In 2024, he said to us, it's a year to come. Yeah. It's a year to come and press into the advantages of the church family. It's a year to press into and make, I'm going to abide under the canopy of the provision and the protection of my local church in 2024. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Anyway, I don't think I have time to even get into all that, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's where we're at, right? That's where I ask you to go. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Praise God. Verse number 11. Paul says, but thou, O man of God. Now you understand, Timothy is a young man, and I don't even have time to talk to you about the historical, what's recorded about the pressure. They're feeding his congregation to lions. You don't know how many of his congregation won't be there the next service because they were killed by gladiators. Right? Yeah. And he's a teenager pastoring the apostle John. How about that? How about preaching to him? How about preaching? He's preaching to Mother Mary. That's just pressure right there. Right? And so he's got pressure like you and I don't know. And Paul says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. What's verse 12 say? Fight. Not lay down. Not get tired. Not have the attitude, I've had enough. I'm done. You know you've left the flow of God if you ever say, I'm done. I'm done walking in love. Really. So you're stepping way over here out of God's territory onto the devil's territory. The devil's a quitter. No, I've been there. I'll confess. I've uttered it out of my mouth. I'm done. My wife has heard it. Concerning the pressure of this building, I was walking down the hallway one day. She's in there washing dishes. She's never unhappy. She's just always happy. It's just annoying sometimes. She's just always so happy. She's always so cheery. I'm under the pressure. You know, I need $1.4 million. I had a Sunday service where I had 65 scared sheep come to church, and I need $1.4 million. And I've had about 90 banks tell me, heck no. And we're so tired of filling out bank applications, and I'm walking down the hall under the pressure of this thing. And I go, that's how I quit. I'm done. That's how I said it to the Lord. And all I hear is my sweet wife from the kitchen, 50 feet away, goes, no, you're not. No, you're not. But I tell you, just thank God, right? Aren't you glad that you're not, hopefully you're not married to someone who goes, oh, me too, I'm done too. I mean, where would we be, right? I mean, we wouldn't be here tonight. We'd have packed it up and left town that night the way I was feeling. Amen. Don't surround yourself with friends that pet your wrong thinking and your wrong attitude, saying, yeah, I'd leave him too. I wouldn't put up with that either. No, that's not the spirit. That's someone petting your flesh. And you don't need that. That's someone that comes along and just wants to pet your oh, woe is me thing all the time. It's good to be comforted. The Bible does say we weep with those who weep. We should mourn with those with mourn, but not day after day after day after day. Somebody's got to come along and say, stop that. Yes. Stop your, right? No, it's fine to cry, but crying's not going to change anything. I said, crying's not going to change anything. Crying's not going to fix anything. At some point, you're going to have to stop crying, stand up and start believing. That's a good word. At some point, you're going to have to stop crying, stand up and start believing. I'm going to contend for my marriage. I'm going to contend for my family. I'm going to contend for my health. I'm going to contend for my provision, my prosperity. And the devil's not going to have my children. And he's not going to have my mind. Right? I'm not going to walk around this house tormented with fear all day. No. No. Where's Pastor Nancy at? Click her on. Or click me on. Amen. So this verse says, fight. Everyone say fight.
Fight.
Come on, say it three times.
Fight, fight, fight.
When does it say stop fighting? It doesn't. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's what I'm telling you to do. You leave here. Amen. We're moving into 2024. Amen. There's going to be needs. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be mountains. There's going to be demonic attacks. There's going to be assignments that God gives you. Amen. And God expects you to advance those assignments and go win those souls and build up the local church and complete these projects help train people and disciple people and equip people and love on people. And it's not going to feel good all the time. Amen. We're going to fight. That's what I'm going to do in 2024. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith to see this building paid off in 2024.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith for the salaries for the staff. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith for the TV ministry that we need to get going. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to have stage lights sometime real soon. We're going to fight the good fight of faith and get this stained carpet replaced. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to have a miracle crusade in May. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to go out in the world like we never have as a church family. We're going to win souls.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I said, yes, we are.
Yes,
sir. Yes, we are. Yes, you are. Amen. I'm the coach, man. I'm going to stand on the sideline, kick you out. No, I'm going to. Amen. I'm going to be out there with you. Amen. This is fight. Not quit. Not say I'm done. It's his fight. You know, Brother Moore, he would say this, and I'm going to close here. Brother Keith Moore, he was preaching on longevity and how to have long life, how to stay on the planet and finish what God wants you to do. And he said, there's going to come a time, if you're aiming at longevity, there's going to come a time in your life where the easiest thing in the world for you to do is lie down, die, and go to heaven. It'd be the easiest thing. If you're looking for the easy thing, lay there, die, go to heaven. And the devil will push you out of the planet before you were really done, before you were satisfied. And, you know, when you get a glimpse of heaven, you know that heaven's waiting on you. Right? That's home. That's where we're headed, heaven. And then you add a long season of difficulty, pressure, and trial. What's the easiest thing to do? The easiest thing to do is just sit there and give up and go to heaven. And if you do that, heaven will receive you. But we will not have the supply that you were supposed to be bringing in the earth. And we need you. We need every laborer there is. No one in this congregation is too old. No. No. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There is no, I've served for 30 years, it's someone else's turn. Maybe you serve in a different area. But you should never be done serving, never done praying, never done witnessing, never done laboring, never done serving the church family. Never. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the devil push me out of the planet before I'm done. It's going to be me and God. It's going to either be the rapture, that's my preference. Amen. Or it's going to be me and God working together to decide, have I done enough? Can I come home now? I might let my wife have something to say about it. Amen. Well, I hope if nothing else, you were at least encouraged tonight. Amen. You have God in you. And I know it's frustrating when you're dealing with a protracted problem and the pressure is there every day. I am not unsympathetic to that. I have been there. But listen, don't let the devil don't draw back into isolation. That is when you tap in to your brothers and your sisters in Christ. That is when you let the pastor know, you let your shepherd know, Pastor, I'm struggling. That, right? You just said fight the good fight of faith. I understand. But sometimes you just need to be real enough to let someone know I'm struggling. And I need your counsel. I need you to know where I am as one of your sheep in the sheepfold. And I need your prayers. And like Jesus, my intention is, Jesus said, anyone that comes to me will in no wise be cast out. And anyone, you know, God says in James, if anyone comes to me lacking wisdom, just ask. Just ask, God said. And I'll never upbraid you. I'll never make fun of you. I'll never look down on you for coming to me and saying, I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. God says, no, I'm going to come. You just come in faith. Amen. Amen. I'm never going to look down. And if I ever get low, you need to be somebody that I could look to. Hey, Pastor, you've been there for me. We're going to be there for you. Amen. It's going to be a good year if we'll approach it the right way. God said to Dr. Seville, and I didn't write it down, I was just listening to it earlier, said, you tell my people to stay in faith. And don't let their faith become inactive, but to stay in faith this year and to keep expressing your faith. And if they'll do that, that this year will be a year of progression. It will be a year of advancement. And he said, your highest expectations will be fulfilled. Praise God. I thought, I'm going to be meditating on that. My highest expectation for the year will be fulfilled. For me, that would be the supernatural payoff of this building. But it's going to require that I fight the good fight of faith and that I stay in it no matter what happens, no matter what comes. Amen? Well, why don't you stand to your feet? You've been sitting there a little while. Hallelujah. Glory to God.